Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
I was putting this message together and I had a far more serious intro and I kept fighting the Lord like I want to start off with something far more serious. And I don't know, maybe just because I've been through so much recently, the Lord just wanted to lighten my heart a little bit. And he brought me to SpongeBob, y'all. I don't got a lot to say other than y'all know SpongeBob loves one thing, Krabby Patties. And Krabby Patties ain't really appealing to the naked eye. Honestly, I don't even know what SpongeBob sees in Krabby Patties. The patty themselves look very plain and unseasoned. There's nothing special about the buns. This ain't the croissant ministry. The cheese looks like the Kraft John. Y'all know the Hood Kraft American rubbery cheese. It looks like that. So I really don't understand the appeal of the Krabby Patty. And yet, when it comes to SpongeBob, he lives on them things. And I think for some of y'all, y'all don't really see the appeal of the canon. Y'all don't see the appeal of the scriptures. Looks just like a bunch of boring words on a page. You look like you're just reading. People are just reading pages on a book, and it looks like they're just reading about old stories and old fables and old tales. And when you open the book, it doesn't do anything for you. I remember the time where SpongeBob and Patrick were playing with a box, and they saw a lot more in that box than Squidward did. And they had a lot more fun with that box than Squidward did. And so they were having a whole good old time with a box. But Squidward saw nothing but a box, but they saw an actual boat. Wow. They can imagine anything that they can get their mind to imagine in this little box. And I think sometimes in the same way, when you see this, all you see is a Bible. You don't see the Word of God. You don't see a treasure. You don't see a gem. You don't see a diamond. You don't see something that is more worthy than any paycheck you've ever earned. You just see words. You don't see the breath of the living God. You don't see the very thing that creates and destroys. You don't see the very thing that brought you into existence. You just see words on a page. And I wonder what it would look like in our lives if this word, this scripture became as addictive to us as the Krabby Patty did to SpongeBob. If we absorbed it, to use that language, like SpongeBob did. If we were obsessed with the 66 books of the scriptures, if we couldn't get enough of it, if we woke up wanting to eat more of it, if we wanted to distribute it because, not listen to me, because it's our job, but because simply we are satisfied customers. I wonder what would happen if this became our food. And what we see in this very text is that for Jesus, the Word of God is his food. For Jesus, the Word of God is his manna. For Jesus, the Word of God is his substance. And there is nothing else that Jesus needs other than the words of his Father. And I ask you, if you have the Spirit of Jesus, can the same be said of you? There are three simple responses to these three temptations in the text. And I'm going to just take them straight from the text themselves. Number one, live by the Word of God. Number two, don't test God. And number three, worship only God. We begin by living by the Word of God, and it begins in verse one. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Stop. Now we begin last week by talking about how God's testing and the devil's temptations actually work hand in hand. Yeah. That sometimes You will be tempted by the devil, and that actually is being employed by God to test you. And yet it is never God himself who tempts you, because he will never tempt a man to sin. And yet it is God who is sovereign over your temptations. Therefore, he will always provide a way of escape. What God is doing in your temptations of the devil is actually not doing what the devil is doing, which is trying to cause you to fall, but is rather serving his purposes, which is proving your faith. He is trying to strengthen you. He's trying to stabilize you. He's trying to listen to me, make it so that all these winds and waves don't keep tossing you around as though you have not found the rock. And you will never be stabilized if your stability has never been tested. So Jesus is sent to be tested just as we are. Verse 2. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now here's the part that I'm going to unpack for you today. Fasting. Somebody say fasting. I know it sounds like a cuss word, but I promise Pastor ain't going to encourage you to cuss. Say fasting. Say fasting.
Fasting.
One more time. Say fasting.
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 One more time. Just with your chest. Say fasting.
Fasting.
All right. Now, I want to just explain a few things about fasting at various different levels. I want to begin from a bibliotheological level about instructions on fasting. Number one, we have simple instructions on fasting coming to us from Isaiah chapter 58. You do not have to turn there, but there are some key ingredients to fasting. Number one, don't eat.
Okay.
Don't eat. This is not simply don't do that thing that causes you to have more and more desires for sinful things. This is not stop doing that thing that you feel is maybe not an addiction, but you know, something that it's hard to put down. This is don't eat. Okay? Fasting has to do with physical food, and I know I gotta say every little thing that goes into your mouth and you chew.
Okay. All of the things.
Help us today.
Listen.
Do not eat. Somebody say, don't eat.
Don't eat.
Okay. So if we're going to fast, we are called to what?
Don't eat.
One more time, new creation.
Don't eat.
One more time, new creation.
Don't eat.
So do not ever at New Creation Fellowship, you can do this anywhere else, talk about I'm fasting from TV.
Yeah. Yep.
Unless you are like some of those robotics that have to live on machinery and metal. I've never seen somebody consume a flat screen. If it ain't going in your mouth, you ain't eating it. Therefore, you ain't fasting from it.
True.
Don't say in New Creation Fellowship, I'm fasting from IG.
Oh my God. Help us today.
That is not a fast. That's just smart. And I will always, 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 I think I'm speaking for all the pastors when I say this, I will always applaud you for being smart. I just won't call it a fast. And here's what's going to be disappointing. You're going to come all excited. Man, I've been fasting from IG for 40 days. Now, I already told y'all, don't do that. Because now you're going to come to me excited and you're going to want me to applaud you like you fasted. So now now the only thing I can do is correct you. But now when you know what y'all do. You get real disappointed. Pastor ain't even encouraged me. I did. Today, I'm doing it. That's not a fast. That's just being smart. So you're going to say about, like anything, just say, yo, I've been smart for the last 40 days. I ain't been on IG. And then I could, yo, keep going, bro.
Right.
But if you call it a fast, I have to correct you because that is not what it is biblically. Somebody say, don't eat.
Don't eat.
Okay. So we got to get detailed, because this is, by the way, what I'm doing right now is exactly what God had to do with the Israelites in the wilderness. Because when the people of God hear two commandments, love the Lord your God with all heart, your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, that ain't enough for us. Because we'd be like, what you mean by love God? What you mean by love my neighbor? So then what happens? Decalogue, Ten Commandments. We got to break down what it means to love God. No other gods, no other idols. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath. And then what does it look like to love your neighbor as yourself? You know, honor your father and mother. Don't be killing nobody. Don't be stealing from nobody. Don't be committing adultery. Don't be coveting other people's stuff. Stop lying on people. Then people are like, what you mean by lying on people? So then after, look, Jesus said it all hangs on two commandments. The two wasn't enough for us, so now we need 10. The 10 wasn't enough for us, so he had to make 613 laws to explain the 10, which explains the two.
Help us, God. Help us. Help us.
Because we as humans won't just hear stuff like, don't eat. Well, what you mean by that? Do smoothies work? Y'all know what we do. So if it was us, we have to make 5 different laws. Not smoothies either. Can I do a juicer? Not juice either. Then it's like, well, Daniel had a fast. Y'all know what y'all do. Because as long as I'm doing vegetables, I'm fasting like Daniel.
Oh, they come up for you on YouTube.
That's not a fast. It's a diet.
It is. Though.
Diets are phenomenal, y'all. They're incredible. And I, as a pastor, want to applaud your diet. But once again, if you come to me talking about, I've been fasting for the last 40 days, eating only fruits and vegetables, now I gotta correct you. And then you're gonna go to your friends, Pastor, and encourage me in my fast. I once again am now, because fasting is not drinking juice, it ain't drinking smoothies, it ain't Daniel dieting, it is not eating. So when people say it's a water only fast, that's like saying chai tea. Only y'all who are cultured will catch that. Because chai translated is tea. So we just saying TT. Go take that to Starbucks. Can I have the TT, please? Which one? The TT. No, it's redundant. When we say we are going to go on a water only fast, it's redundant, because that's what fasting is. Okay. Now, I knew it was going to get quiet, because now all of y'all disappointed about all y'all fast. Y'all like, dang, I don't know if I really done that before. And here's the deal. Good news. There's an invitation to do that here with us.
Here we go. Here we go. I knew it. I knew it.
Love it.
Y'all excited? I see no smiles. But I see staring. I see staring. So y'all with me, but y'all not happy with me. Okay. So I'm going to actually encourage us to don't eat for the next 7 days.
Help us today.
Now, listen. This is why I have to describe what Isaiah 58 is saying. Because Isaiah 58 is not simply saying don't eat, but it describes the kind of not eating that God smiles on.
Oh my.
And the kind of not eating that God smiles on is the kind of not eating where you actually are trying to draw near to the Lord himself. And your heart and your soul with your mind and your strength. In other words, you're ridding yourself of one of your most primary distractions in order to focus yourself on your true love. The fast that pleases God is about changing your heart, y'all. Yeah. And it's actually a beautiful thing. And you want to know something so incredible? So incredible. That when the text says that Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the language of the text is literally this. And afterwards, he was hungry. Now, when we read that, we're like, how does that work? Well, I've given you the Bible. Now I'm about to give you a little bit of science. Your body actually can go very long periods of time without eating. God has rigged your body to be able to say no to a need your body actually has, so that you can say yes to a greater need. People have fasted for 60 days, y'all. With no food, not eating. 60 days. Now, I didn't say 60. I ain't even say 40. I said 7. But what actually happens over the course of time after you fast is that you actually go through periods of no longer being hungry. How many people have fasted over 2 days with no, this is a beautiful church, no food? Keep it high. If it's no food, no juicing, no nothing. All right. I just want to make sure we're in the right hand. All right. So how many people have fasted over? Keep your hand high. Yo, what's up? All right. So how many people have fasted over 4 days? Four days. Keep them high. I mean, how many people have fasted over 6 days? No food. All right. 7 days. How many people have fasted over 7 days? All right. 14 days. How many people have fasted over 14 days? All right. 21 days. How many people have fasted over 21 days? All right. 28 days. How many people have fasted over 28 days? All right. Let's go 40 days. I only see two hands now. All right. So 40 days. All right. How long are you going fasting without food?
8 weeks.
So that's, you got to tell me the days on that. I don't know. All right. 56 days. Who else's hand was up? Who else was hand? Huh? 40 days. So we got 40 days and 56 days. My sister, how long are you going? 45 days. All right. In this body, we have people who have done it. I'm going to ask a very clear question. Y'all dead?
No.
Okay. All right.
No.
They're still here.
Yeah.
They're still here. If you don't believe me, take their word for it. They told me they're alive. Now, they can be lying, but look. I think I see them like you do. What I'm saying, though, is that your body actually has been built for this. So, scientifically, this is what happened. You go through a detox period where you like mad. I thought I was going to say hungry. No, just mad. Your whole body is just angry. So what it's doing, you're going to have stupid, crazy headaches. Like, John going to like feel like the sharpest pain in the world. You're going to go through all of that. And then if you've had a lot of sugar and a lot of caffeine,
yeah.
God bless you, because it's going to be so stinking difficult for like 2-3 days. Day 4, day 5, something starts to happen. You don't see food the same. Your body exhausted, but you don't see food the same. Day 6, day 7, you actually start to get some energy. I ain't going to hold you. Like, I was like, I felt so good. I went to hoop and then I felt stupid depleted. Don't do that. don't do that. It's your body saying like, oh, I see what's going down. So I'm giving you energy now based on the fat that has already been stored. Yeah. Here's the point that I'm saying. 7 days is actually nothing in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can actually do this as a people of God. But here's the beauty. As we do this as the people of God for the purpose of seeking God, we will actually begin to see the hand of God in brand new ways.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that's what we're after.
Yeah.
Him,
yeah.
His presence, More of who he is. More of knowing him. Getting a deeper understanding of him. Some of us have been stuck in the same patterns. And it is actually a 7-day fast that I believe will break some of your patterns and your addictions. I actually believe that this is going to set some people free in a short amount of time, relatively. You might be struggling with something for 7 years. And I think God could get rid of it in 7 days as you turn away the plate. There's power in that. But if I don't let you know up front that you can make it, you're going to tell yourself, my head is hurting too much. I need to eat. No, actually, your body is saying, finally, we're getting rid of this stuff. And it's having a crazy effect. And after you get through that, I'm telling you, on the other side of that, there is joy, joy, and so much more joy. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I knew this was going to get no happiness, no smiles. Now, before I move on, you know how you, anybody been to basketball games before? Where they got like the crowd meter? So I'm just listen for the crowd meter. I'm going to ask by an amen, how many people going to go on this journey with us for 7 days?
Amen.
All right, hold on the count of three, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
67%. All right, we good. We rocking. All right, what we're going to do is we'll start the fast Monday.
Hallelujah.
I did. Just a day of preparation, y'all. A day of preparation.
Amen.
There was a preparation day for the Sabbath. It's preparation day for us.
No college for you.
And then, we're going to come back, and our first meal together from that point in time will be the table.
Hallelujah. Amen.
We'll break the fast with the table.
Amen.
It's going to be Mother's Day.
Amen.
So then you get to go out with your moms. Get to go to a restaurant. You're going to be mad hungry, so y'all pick the right spot. And we'll come back here, and we'll be able to see what God has done in a mere 7 days merely by us turning away the plate. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Hey, we can clap. Let's celebrate. Yeah. Let's celebrate your way through it. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, to the temptations and responses. Verse 3. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, I want you to notice the identity statement. If you are the Son of God, say Son of God.
Son of God.
Command these stones to become loaves of bread. In other words, do that thing that you did in the wilderness before. Do that thing that you did in the desert before. Do a miracle of manna again. But Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Stop. Now, this quotation comes to us all the way from Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know what we got to do. We got to go search the scriptures. So Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to start at verse 1 while y'all still turning there. It says, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live, say live, and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments, or whether you would keep his commandments or not. Verse 3, and he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Here's why. That he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I'm going to keep going. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart, as a man disciplines his son, the Lord disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and figs and pomegranates. pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you shall eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. The reason why we read the context is because of this. If we just read the quotation, all we get is that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Yes, but part of the motivation is a recognition of the destination. Wow. That if I know where I'm going, and that where I'm going is full of food, is full of satisfaction, it's full of shalom, it's full of peace, then I can deal with the struggles of this time. In other words, if I know I'm going to be full one day, what is it for me to fast for 7 days? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every mouth that comes out from the mouth of, by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. And God has physically built you to be able to live this out. There's this scene that I love in SpongeBob, where SpongeBob is just an addict for the Krabby Patties. So he's an addict for the Krabby Patties. He finds out one day that Squidward has never had one. So he like, it's, and if you never watched SpongeBob, it's cool. A Krabby Patty is simply a burger. I want you to think, Lord, help me right now. Not even like McDonald's ministry. Maybe McDonald's is actually perfect. I ain't gonna hold you. But I want you to think like Whopper Jr. Not the real Whopper, but the junior one. Okay? I forget who I'm talking to, man. There are gourmet burgers, guys, out there. People make real burgers with real meat. You know what I mean? Like, there's good Shake Shack. Yo. Oh, my God. Sheesh. Okay. So since we got a church full of hood folk who like Krabby Patties, I got to explain to y'all that there are other kinds of burgers out there that really are worth your money. And then there's the Krabby Patties, the Whopper Juniors, the double cheeseburger at Mickey D's, you know, the value meal, dollar million, like those kinds of burgers. So I want you to think Krabby Patty is not over here. It's over here. And yet SpongeBob has an addiction to these things. So one day, like, he finds out Squidward has never had one. So he's like, yo, Squidward, you got to have one, is my translation. And Squidward's like, yo, I don't want to mess with that. So he's always trying to resist it. And then secretly, Squidward goes and just sneaks him a bite. And then the addiction is on. He starts swallowing, like, going crazy. His whole body just goes like this. Moves from skinny Squidward. Y'all seen the movie, just show the skinny Squidward to just, I mean, he's just a lob, just like this. And what happened is he has tasted and seen that the patty was good. Some of y'all ain't really tasted and seen that the word is good yet. Because you won't even give yourself a chance to let it actually simmer and linger on your taste buds. When you only do just like a daily verse of the day, like a verse of the day, you're not even really taking it in. That's like when my kids, like, we try to get them to try something new, and they like, I tried it, Daddy. Now you ain't even tasted the joint yet, because a nibble ain't actually tasting it. That part. But to actually taste it, you got to really ingest it, and then when you take it, you got to take in the aftertaste.
Yeah.
And that pre-taste.
Come on.
And there's something about the Word of God that sometimes it don't hit you as soon as you eat the first bite. But the aftertaste of the Word of God is something that I begin to live for.
Man, come on.
What I'm saying here is that when this text says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father, is I'm actually testing you. Go try it and see.
Yes.
Like go have a week where you actually spend more than 2 minutes a day in the Scriptures. Go have a week where you actually read more than just a chapter a day.
Yeah.
Just for 1 week, spend 30 minutes a day in the Scriptures.
Yeah.
For some of y'all, maybe an hour a day. And see, don't the scriptures prove themselves that the word of God is sweeter than honey in your mouth? More sweet than, there goes the word again. Manna is self. Why? Because of what the word of God does. And there's so much I can say about the word of God. I can take you to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that says that all scripture is God breathed. And it's profitable. Say profitable. That words mean beneficial. All scripture is beneficial. I could take you there. I could take you to what 2 Peter says about the word of God. But what I really want you to see is what the Psalm says about the word of God in three different portions. Psalm 1, the word of God is the way to happiness. That some of you are fighting for happiness and you refuse to find it in the scripture because you actually think that the scripture is going to rob you of happiness, when that's actually a lie from the devil, because that's actually where it comes from. Psalm 18 says the word of God is your stabilizer, your rock. It stabilizes you. Some of y'all have just a crazy life. I always use this as an illustration. Y'all know them like little car salesmen, and you go to car shops and they got them little things that just do this? You know what I'm talking about? Like, when I be looking at some of y'all lives, this is what y'all look like, yo. I never know where I'm going to get the next week. Like, I don't know what's coming in next week. One day, yeah, man, I'm locked in. Next week, ghost. Next week, back to it. Yeah, man, we like. Next week, ghost. Ghost again. Ghost again. And what I know that comes from is that you have no stabilizer. When your life is all over the place, go literally test your life. When you go from like locked in to ghost to locked in to ghost to locked in to ghost, I'm telling you, I can promise you, you ain't in the text. That don't happen when you're in the word of God, because it stabilizes you. It locks you in. It helps you to navigate this life that is full of winds and waves and still be as solid as the one who anchors you. So that no matter what the waves are doing, you are stabilized in the scriptures. And in Psalm 119, it's a lamp and a light to your path. Some of us are trying to seriously make decisions for our whole family, and we ain't in the text. So we're walking around with a flashlight with no battery in it. And thinking we could find the way forward for our family's future. When you know the word of God is all like that, you're like, yo, what do I need Netflix for? Listen to me. I'm gonna just take y'all through some stuff. You an HGTV fan? Cool. Go read the building of the temple and the tabernacle. You want self-help? Read the Proverbs. You like lyrics? Go and poetry? Go read the Psalms. You want drama and soap opera? Go read Genesis. What y'all want? You want entertainment? Ooh, I like battles and fighting. Cool, go read Judges. No, I like epic fantasy battles. Go read Revelation. What you want? You want a superhero like Superman? Go read the Gospels. You want the Avengers? Go read Acts. Oh, man. Like, everything you need is in the book, y'all. You want romance? Go read you some Song of Solomon if you married.
Qualifier.
If you married. If you married, though. Like, listen, the devil wants you to believe that you got to go elsewhere to get your fix. But you're going to go get your fix and leave unfixed. But this actually does the work, though. The word of God is enough. And this is why I can say about more than just food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I can say that about anything. Man shall not live by sex alone, fellas.
Dog, man. Dog.
When that desire comes, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by people's approval alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by their dreams alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Listen to me. Man shall not live by dough alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what is dough anyway? Dough is nothing more than wheat that has been ground up into flour and mixed with water so that it can be placed into the fire and then come out as bread.
Wow.
We don't need wheat. We got the word. And we grind it through interpretation where we search the scriptures.
Yes, yes.
And then we place that with the water of the Spirit of God in prayer. We put that thing in the fire of testing and obedience, and out it comes as a beautiful loaf of bread so that we can say along with Jesus that I have bread that you do not know of.
Yes, yes.
My bread is to do the will of my Father.
Yeah.
Everything you need is found in the Word of God. And this is not hypothetical, it is reality.
Yeah.
Live by God's word. Second thing, don't test God.
Okay.
If I could put it my way, don't play with him.
Okay.
Then the devil took him to a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. In other words, he took him higher to actually bring him lower. What God wants to do is bring you low so that he can actually exalt you. And said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Once again, this is from Psalm 91. I am going to turn there. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to meet me there, you can meet me there. Here is what that text says. Now, for some of y'all, if y'all Fred Hammond fans, y'all can hear like this whole psalm just from the beginning. He who dwells in shelter. Come on, sing that. Will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah, there you go, there you go. He says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Yeah.
Woo, hallelujah.
And wouldn't it be the devil to turn that beautiful passage into something self-centered to get a sign? This is why I don't deal with the twisting of scripture, yo. When you read it in its context, it's beautiful. It's a promise, not just to Jesus, but through Jesus to you.
Yes. Wow.
God will protect you.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
But don't go playing with fire, though.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
And bait him into a miracle.
Yes.
That's good.
Wow. Wow. That's good.
Can I tell y'all some subtle ways that we do this? And I heard this recently, and I've heard this too much. When we say things like this, and this is the most, I believe, demonic way that we test the Lord as people of the gospel. When we say stuff like, go ahead and get it out of your system,
oh,
he'll forgive you.
Oh,
Lord. Because what you're doing is you know the scripture says that he will forgive your sins. You're taking the scripture that is true and a promise to those who have fallen into sin, and you're testing God to see how far his forgiveness goes.
Jesus. Woo, help us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Woo.
Go ahead and get it out of your system. He'll forgive you later. Ask for forgiveness afterwards. Walking into sin knowing you're about to do it. Liking it the whole way, no conviction. If your heart is at a place where you could test the Lord like that, I really want to know if you know the Lord at all. Y'all, can I? Oh man, help me, Jesus.
Go ahead.
So I'm gonna just be honest. This is just, y'all know the progressive. I think it's a progressive dude, the Mayhem dude. What was that? Allstate, the Mayhem dude. He's just always destroying people, and like it's something about me that likes those commercials a little too much. You know what I mean? I'd be watching it like, what's the next way he gonna destroy their lives? You know what I mean? It's just I don't know. I know it's a commercial, so it's just a lot of fun. And for this reason, some of my favorite episodes of SpongeBob was when he was doing his driving exams with Miss Puff. Now, if you ever watched SpongeBob, he's an infamously bad driver. He only knows one instruction, floor it. So she'll be like, put your blinker on, floor it! Floor it! He just drives that. And literally, she a blowfish, so every time she gets under a lot of stress, she just blow up and just floats away. It's so sad. I feel for Miss Puff. So she'll do these exams, and like, you know, SpongeBob will sign up for another exam, like his 519th exam, because he keep failing it. And if you've ever been in a driving test, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make sure in this fantasy place that you'll be able to handle the real road. So they just test you with different stuff to make sure you're going to be able to do the same thing out here. And what I think is sad is that sometimes, because we really don't like God's hand on the wheel, uh-oh. Is that we become his driver test instructor.
Oh my gosh.
And we administer a driving test to God as though he don't got license to drive. Can you imagine giving a full-on professional NASCAR race driver a daggone driving test? He been driving since the OT. Did good with the Israelites, I think. Did good with Moses, I think. The prophets, I think. The apostles, I think. Do you think he can't drive you? And yet we put him under tests. And the danger is that there are people in scripture who put tests out before the Lord. And so we use that to say we can test God too.
Oh, my Lord.
But there's a major difference between testing whether you're hearing God and testing whether you want to hear the God that you hear. The one is about his character. The one is about what voice you're hearing. Like Gideon put it out to make sure I'm hearing the right God. Because we can hear different voices, can't we, believers?
Yes.
So we got to make sure, like, it's your voice I'm hearing. But once I know it's you, though, now it's on me to obey. But what we'll do is with no sense of God's initiation. Because that's the distinction. God came to Gideon and there was a test. God came to Moses and there was a test. God came to Abraham, test. So when God initiates it, that's when you test, is this your voice? But you don't just arbitrarily say, I want to just try something to see if God's promises are real.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
So I run into a mountain to see if he's going to move it in time.
Come on.
You said I can move mountain. Come on, bro. You're going to get a concussion. Stop doing that. And some of y'all spiritually concussed you because you keep just running through mountains. Hoping he going to move mountains that he never, listen to me, never instructed you to go through.
Jesus.
Y'all know all of us have done it as kids. We wanted to be like Peter. I bid you to walk on water. He bid Peter to walk on water. God's initiation. So we just take that, John. Well, he did it. I can do it. And y'all know we've all done it. This time, if I really believe, feet hitting sand the whole time. And you just hoping Matrix Man is just going to lift you up. No. God ain't gonna turn your feet, listen to me, into floaties.
All right.
Just because you decided to test him.
Wow.
My goodness gracious.
Don't play with God. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. He is the proctor. He is the instructor. He has his hands on the wheel. Listen to me. You are the clay. He is the potter. There is no reversing roles. God tests you. You do not test him.
Teach that.
And I get very nervous because amongst the people of God in the holy city, I see this more than anywhere. Where we be like so thirsty for a sign just so we can feel spiritual. We bait God into miracles. And then I've seen it. I've actually been in worship settings where enough stuff ain't happening. So we manipulate the atmosphere to make it feel like something is happening when it ain't.
My Lord.
Testing God.
Jesus.
I wonder how much the Lord is sitting back and saying, why are they putting me to the test? When I breathe on a congregation, you will know.
Yes, you will.
It ain't every Sunday we feel the same thing here, is it?
No.
But then there's some Sundays we're like, woo-wee, it's sticking here. Six people get saved. The Lord know what he doing, y'all. Let him be Lord. And you just be clay. Finally, worship only God. Verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. I'm so sorry. We're going to move. My sister, I ain't even going to look at you, but whoever just said, I'm so sorry, Lord. That right there is the appropriate response to preaching. Amen. You don't got to wait until Ike bids us, almost begs us to respond. Let's just start repenting now. So by the time we get to the gospel, we can already receive from a place of humility. Lord, help us. Verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. Again, he takes him up so he can bring him down. In other words, he wants him to rise so he can only fall. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, I love this so much. Like, I don't know if y'all grew up in the 90s. Be gone, wannabe, be gone. Be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Another quotation, by the way, from Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy 8, Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 6 again. All quotations are coming from Deuteronomy. Where are they at in Deuteronomy? The people of God are where? In the wilderness.
Yeah.
Jesus is responding with the same words that God gave them in the desert because he's in the desert. Yeah. So that when you come upon your own desert moment, you'll know where to look. And notice the text. He says, you should worship the Lord your God, and him only you should serve. You should worship the Lord your God, and him only you should serve. You should worship the Lord your God, and him only you should serve. In other words, worship is exclusive. Now put the notes down. Put the pens down for a second. I need your eyes here. I'll wait. We, since Genesis 3, naturally know nothing but making idols.
Yeah.
Listen to me, New Creation Fellowship. you will naturally be an idolater. The only question is, what is your idol? So how can I know that I have an idol? Whenever we mismanage priorities, I can promise you, you've already embraced idolatry. Can I just get real? There's a concept in the scripture, the first fruits, for a reason. Because the first thing that you do usually says what is of most importance to you. So I'm going to just ask you a question. Who's the first voice you hear in the morning? Is it the voice of God? Or is it the voice of your favorite influencer?
Oh boy. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Is it the voice of God? Or is it the voice of your girlfriend or boyfriend? I know what it's like. You dating. You can't wait to see they text in the morning. Idol. Because you have a text already made for you in the morning. Woo. You have no desire for it.
Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
Whose voice do you long to hear in the morning? God's? Or listen to me. Entertainment.
Jesus.
Social media.
Jesus.
Games. What is the first fruits of your life telling you about who you worship? This is why I do not, listen to me, I do not encourage people to say, well, I'll get to it after. I'll get to God during the day. Why he ain't the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? What should take priority over him? No, seriously. You say, well, I got to get showered. Oh. So your physical cleanness comes over your spiritual washing. I could put this on anything. I got to make it to work. So you couldn't get up earlier to do the work so that you can get to work on time and then still get the word? Priorities. And you know we lie to ourselves, yo. Like, I'll get to it, I'll get to it, I'll get to it, I'll get to it. Now, some of y'all got beautiful rhythms. Y'all know y'all gonna shower, you spending time with the Lord in the shower, you praying, you listen to your Fred Hammond, you getting it in. And then you get in the car and you put that text on while you're driving. And you got nothing but the word of God washing over you. I commend you. Keep going, brother. Keep going, sister. But some of y'all use the I will get to it later as an excuse because you know you didn't even get to it yesterday.
Help us today, Jesus.
And here's the problem. This ain't just an it. It's a pointer to a him. I'm looking at y'all like my heart as a shepherd is burning right now. Because I know some of y'all lives would be insanely different if the word of God was your first meal.
Jesus.
Before breakfast.
Jesus.
Like I know this. And before you even had eggs, it's like, oh man, yeah, I'm hungry for some eggs. But I also need some Luke. I would love me some bacon, but it'd be nice to get me back in some Jude. The sizzling of the scriptures is doing something to my spiritual nostrils. The aroma of Christ is beckoning me to eat. Like I'm looking and I'm saying, like, y'all's lives would be different. Do you want to stay stuck? Do you want to remain where you are? Do you want to keep holding to idols that are broken? Go read Isaiah 44 through 45. Some of the illest wordplay ever is pinned there. Because in Isaiah 44, it is all about how God has, listen to me, how we make these false gods. And then Isaiah 45, it's all about how God has made us. So we sitting here trying to be potters to clay and calling it a god, when God is already the potter to us a clay. And here's what happens. We as humans give power to idols, but the true God gives power to us. An idol has no power beyond its worshiper. God got power by himself, which was why out of his overflow, he can give you that. Go read what Paul says to the church at Corinth about what's behind idols, demons. So some of us, our spiritual demonic encounters are because of the idols in our life. And you want to know the best idol smasher? The canon of scripture. These 66 books, pride, flop. Ego, flop. Sexual immorality, fuck. A profane mouth, fuck. A profane heart, fuck. Self-centeredness, fuck. Every idol of your heart. I know, brothers, what it's like to be addicted to entertainment. It's the number one desire of your heart is to be entertained. And you get irritated by anybody, including your family, who throws you off your entertainment swelling. Yeah. Call of Duty, forgetting your duties.
Jesus. Woo! Oh, my Lord. My Lord, my Lord. My Lord today.
So what we do, we say, well, I'm going to put it down. I'm going to fast from Call of Duty. You wouldn't need to fast from Call of Duty if you feasted on the word. It would do the work. Yes. He will literally cause you to put it down. Amen. You get so addicted to this, you're like, call it what?
Yeah.
I've been called.
Yeah.
I'm on mission. Yeah. I got some work to do in the kingdom. Amen. But I'm telling you, there is no solution outside of this. Can I just say this real quick? Some of y'all have asked me for pastoral counseling. My joint is mad simple, and it's going to be whacked at some of y'all. I don't even want to hear your story first. Sorry. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to John 15. Who been with me? Who could raise their hand and say, he right? I'm going to take you to John 15, and I'm just going to read John 15. He is the true vine. You are the branches. Every branch that abides in him will bear fruit. How do you abide in him? In his word. And as you eat of these nutrients, I promise you, you will passively bear fruit. You don't even got word for that. People are going to be coming up to you, man, like, where did this patience come from? I don't even know. Something is different. I guess I have been reading a lot more. Spend a lot more time in prayer. Oh, because God got something to work with now.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to take serious inventory. You want to be stuck? Or you want to be strengthened by the word of God?
Help us, Lord.
And as you feel the weight of that conviction, Jesus, I've been trying to move on, y'all. As you feel the weight of that conviction, hear the final words as a gospel oasis to you. It says, then the devil left him.
My God. Jesus.
Fellas, where my fellas at?
Yeah.
Give me a woo.
Woo.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Give me a woo, fellas.
Woo.
Give me a woo, fellas.
Woo.
Listen, the text says the devil left him when he spoke the word. Y'all are running from the devil because you don't got this in you. So he's chasing you. Oh my God, y'all remember Space Jam? I'm so sorry. Y'all remember Space Jam since we on cartoons? Like, Space Jam got them little aliens, little diminutive, ain't they? So they got the little small animals, alien Jones, and they, you know, the Looney Tunes to challenge them to a basketball game, and then they take the talent of the NBA players, and then they become swole, the monstars, right? So these monstars end up losing the game because Michael Jordan is MJ, you know what I mean? He did what he did, you know what I mean? All right. So after all that happened, Swag Hammer, they boss, who's a jerk to them, is talking mean trash, but now he got to look up to him. And then Jordan is like, yo, why do you take this from him? And he's like, it's because he's bigger. Bigger than we used to be. And they realize, now that I got the power and talent of another, I'm a lot more swole than I was by myself. And they deal with the one who was once enslaving them. The running is over. The obeying is over. They stand 10 toes and make him flee. Send that dude on the rock and you don't even know where he went. You, when you went to Christ in faith and entrusted yourself to him, you received the talent of the superstar. And now the power that raised Christ from the dead is now alive in you. You still walking around like you short in comparison to the devil. He's bigger, bigger than we used to be. But now because we've been empowered by the spirit of the risen Christ, we can stand 10 toes on the devil and send him away so that we ain't no longer running.
Wow, hallelujah. Wow.
But you don't know that if you ain't empowered by the word, y'all. And yet when we do this, do you notice the text? This is so beautiful. It says, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him.
Yeah.
What was temptation number two? Hey, cast yourself down because angels will have to show up. A shortcut, self-centered way to get a miracle. So Jesus is just faithful through the scriptures. And what happens? Angels come anyway. The very thing you're looking for might be on the other side of faithfulness to the word. But he loves you too much to give it to you in a shortcut fashion.
Thank you, Jesus.
So now, for all my failures and my temptations, for all my failures and my testing, I want to know what my hope is. Do you? For when he's tempted me to self-centered provision, self-centered miracles, who do I turn to? Y'all think I strengthen myself? Did I empower myself? No. Praise the living God that Christ our King was tempted and overcame so that even when I don't overcome, I'm still an overcomer.
Amen.
For we were all nothing more than scumbucket, less significant than plankton. Do you know what? Yet God in his mercy sent forth the Lord Jesus to take your sins and mine like a sponge on the cross. I want you to see Jesus absorbing your addictions on the cross. I want you to see him absorbing your sexual immorality on the cross. I want you to see him absorbing your fornication, absorbing your weed smoking, like a sponge taking upon himself your pride and arrogance and ego. I want you to see him swelling up with all of that. That's why he has holes in him, but not all over, but just three. For he is thrice holy. And the Lord Jesus bows his head, swelled up with your sin, gives up the ghost, and listen to this beautifully, and erases your sin in his blood.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Emptied himself in death And then on the third day, hallelujah, like a sponge that had been dried out, literally swells up with spirit again, comes back to resurrected life, and is so drenched in the spirit, he just begins to go around soaking y'all. Just begins to go around soaking y'all. Just begins to go around soaking you, L. Just begins to go around soaking you. And as every single person is soaked in the spirit of the living Christ, now we go out as full sponges to soak others. Until one day Jesus will return. And this is the part I can't contain. Jesus is going to return. And on this time, listen to me. Those of us who were lower than Bikini Bottom are going to rise higher than heaven itself. We won't need no Krabby Patties then. Because we won't even be eating beef, y'all. It's going to be nothing but lamb on that day. We won't need no buns, but the unleavened bread of his body. And on that day, we don't even sell Coke products, but covenant products. And we get to taste a taste right here and now as a proclamation for when he returns, there will be no crying anymore. No suffering anymore. No more sin to absorb. But nothing but joy and life and shalom and peace. And no more temptations, for even Lucifer himself will be burned, and we ourselves will be glorified.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus in the desert was not just showing us what it looked like to eat the right manna, but he was proving that he was the manna. Friends, when you are fasting, when you're in your desert time, don't simply, listen to me, seek to get a knowledge of the scriptures, but seek to get a knowledge of him who is the scripture embodied. And it is through that that you will be empowered to overcome anything that the devil throws your way, to stand 10 toes, because you have received your manna in the desert.